Hey, what's going on, everyone? Thank you so much for tuning in to We're Just Talking. I'm your host, Brandon Estrella, and I will be talking about a little something different in this category. Normally, we don't cover the paranormal. Normally, like, we don't cover ghost stories and stuff like that. And I know what you're thinking, oh, geez, you must be desperate. No, I'm not. I make no money off this podcast. I don't make a dime. Not anymore. I used to, but that's long been kind of over. No, I want to tell this story because it is just absolutely batshit. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a skeptic. I'm a person that, you know, I need proof. I need concrete evidence. And I mean, yeah, I believe in Bigfoot, but, you know, come on. You mean you can't tell me that there's not a Neanderthal running around there, or what do they call it, a Gigantopithecus? You know, come on. It's a giant monkey out in the forest. That's pretty true. At least I think so. I don't know. Anyways, I digress. So, back in 2012, I had come out to Scottsdale, Arizona to visit Arizona with a friend. And I just fell in love with Scottsdale. I thought it was a beautiful city. They had many planned communities. It wasn't just all thrown together in a blender and see kind of what came out. This was a beautiful, beautiful city. It was upscale. It was nice. The people looked good. I was kind of bougie back then, so this was exactly where I wanted to be. So come 2013 of June 10th, I arrive in Scottsdale at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's 120 degrees. It was absolutely insane. I don't know how people live out here. I don't know how the hell I still live out here. But anyways, moving on. So I unpacked my boxes into this big, beautiful house. It had 4 bedrooms, 2 stories. It had a loft. It had 3 full bathrooms. Beautiful giant bedroom downstairs that kind of went in, and they added it onto the garage. Had a big backyard, two and a half car garage. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful home. But something was weird about this home. All the other houses in the neighborhood were, they just looked like they belonged there. And this house looked like somebody moved it from Connecticut or something. It didn't fit. There was something about it that didn't fit. Because as soon as you walked in, it had like a dark stone fireplace. And the tile was dark. The walls were dark. It had these old, like, medieval bronze chandeliers hanging that had these steel sharp barbs on them. It was just a really wicked looking house. And at the time, I thought nothing of it. I just thought, wow, that's kind of gothic, but cool, you know, get down with my metal side, you know what I mean? Listen to some Cannibal Corpse, I can vibe. But maybe this was a conduit or something, I don't know. But this is when shit started happening. So about 6 months after I moved in there with my roommate, I had noticed that we both had girlfriends, by the way. And I had noticed that the longer people were in there, the more they started feuding. Now, of course, you can say that, you know, yeah, people will have, you know, hard times getting along, especially if they live together. But the thing that was interesting is that he had this girl that he was dating. She was a wonderful woman, just cute as hell, very great personality, just amazing girl. I was dating my girlfriend at the time, and, you know, she was just an amazing girl too, beautiful, gorgeous blonde, and I was very happy. We both were. And so my roommate, his girlfriend didn't live there. She lived in Sholo at the time, and my girlfriend lived in Chandler. But during the weekend, they would come over, they would spend the weekend with us, and we'd go out and do couples things and whatever. Well, everything was going fine up until around 6 to 8 months into us moving in. What I noticed is that people were there was like this hostile, how to explain it? There was this hostile vibe, like this bad negative ambiance kind of wafting around the air. You know what I mean? Like you walk into a room and you can tell people are just pissed off at each other. That's what started happening, and for no reason. Like, my roommate and his girlfriend started fighting for no reason, just out of the blue. They would just start fighting. my girlfriend and I started fighting, and just it started to get bad. And what was interesting is that when the girls would leave, things would go back to normal. Like, my roommate and I wouldn't fight or nothing like that. It was weird. So fast forward to 2016, my girlfriend was sick. She had stayed home. She was resting on the couch. And this was around 3 p.m. I went into the kitchen to make her some soup. And, you know, I kind of peeked around the kitchen. I said, "Hey, hon, do you want anything else?" She's sitting there laying on my couch watching a movie. And she's like, "No, babe, I'm fine." And I said, "All right. Do you want like some OJ or water, or, you know, maybe a soda?" She's like, "Yeah, you bring me a soda." Perfect thing to drink when you're sick, right? Pepsi number one. And so then all of a sudden I hear, "Ow, what the fuck, babe?" And I'm just kind of there at the stove making her soup. And I peek my head around the corner. I said, "What happened?" And she's like, "Oh, don't grab me so fucking tight." And I said, "What are you talking about? I'm in the kitchen." And, you know, I kind of chuckled at it because I thought she was being funny. But I walk up to her after I turn off the stove and I say, "You know, what happened? What's wrong?" She's like, "You didn't just grab me?" And I was like, "What do you mean? No, I've been in the kitchen." And she's like, "You didn't just grab me around my rib?" And I said, "No." And I said, "You know, it's a very cute rib." And I leaned down to kiss her and I pulled her shirt up a little bit and she had bruises. She had bruises at like if a hand could make a bruise, a perfect bruise that was the outline of a hand, that's what it looked like. And it looked like somebody had made those bruises, like coming behind her and grabbing her. And I backed away real quick and I said, "Whoa, what the fuck?" And she looked up at me and then looked down at the bruises and she's like, "What the hell?" And we were both freaked out. We didn't know what to think about it. And I said, did you fall? Did you like, you know, did you accidentally in your sleep?" We couldn't think about what could have possibly have done this. And I told her, if memory serves, I said, "You know, maybe you accidentally hurt yourself in your sleep or something, or maybe I grabbed on you. I don't know." And then she's like, "No, this wasn't here like 20 minutes ago." And we had not touched each other since then. I mean, that was kind of our relationship towards the end too, but you know what I mean? So I'm sorry, that was a bad joke. But the point was that I hadn't touched her. Nobody else had been around her. She was just laying on the couch and then screamed out bloody murder. We did not know what to make of it. Nothing made sense. And there was really nothing we could do about it other than just be like, "That's fucking weird." You know, I thought about saying like, "Hey, you know," I told her like, "Let's go to the hospital and see if you have some sort of like clot or something like that." That's the only thing that I could think of. And she was like, "No, it's not that. Like, you know, it wouldn't look like this." And I wish I had taken pictures. I wish I had. Things like this don't happen. So at the time, I don't know. So anyways, the next day we were at her dad's house and he had a big swimming pool and we were all going swimming and they had a couple dogs there too. And she had her own dogs. We were having like a cook-off with some burgers and her dad was really nice, really great guy. Her mom equally as cool. I miss them both very much. Guys, if you're listening, I miss you both. You were great. I was hoping one day to call you both mom and dad. I really was. But that's a story for another time. So anyways, we're in the pool. And then her sister comes up. And she's like, "Whoa, what the fuck?" And she was like, "Yeah, look at this." And her sister looked at me like, "You son of a bitch." And I was just like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." Like, "No, it wasn't me." And she thought it was me, like I was beating on her or something. And even my girlfriend backed me up. You know, Jenny was just like, "No, it wasn't Brandon. It was." And then her sister was like, "Come on, spit it out." And she was like, "I don't know what it was. We still don't know. And then she was like, you should go to the hospital. And Jen, my girlfriend, was just like, I don't even know if it's anything like that. So she never did go to the hospital. I kind of thought in retrospect, maybe she should have, but she didn't. Anyways, so it's, hold on, hit my vape here. It's about, I want to say like 2 weeks later, you know, that incident with the handprint on her midsection had already happened, and it kind of faded and it went away, and, you know, it was a bruise. So naturally bruises go away. So we kind of just like set it, forget it type thing, you know, just whatever. There's nothing we could do about it. There was no investigation. I mean, imagine you wake up and you have a handprint on your side. Like, what, is there really anything you can do about it other than just be like, whoa, what the fuck? You know, so that's kind of where we left it. So 2 weeks go by and she's laying on the same couch and we're both watching a movie and I'm in my Lazy Boy chair. And it was a really comfortable recliner. It's actually, I need to get that out of storage. But, you know, we're both kicking back and we were watching Pearl Harbor. Or was it Titanic? It was Pearl Harbor, sorry. And it's probably about like halfway through the movie where Ben Affleck goes on his like little, you know, vacation with the Brits and they send him in the war and he crashes and everyone thinks he's dead. Or was that Josh Hartnett? Oh, it was Ben Affleck, that's right. And, you know, so we're at that part of the movie and I remember because that's where I paused it. And all of a sudden she starts screaming. She literally starts screaming, like, really loud. And you know a girl scream when they're scared. I mean, that's ear-piercing. Like, I thought my windows were going to shatter. So I jump out of my chair, and I look up, and she's got her arms flailing, trying to reach me. And I go and I grab her arm. Something was pulling her. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Bullshit. Something was literally pulling her off the couch by her feet, kind of like pulling her down, like it was a tug of war almost. And it only happened for about 3 seconds, three very quick seconds, but I saw like her head start to slide down the couch, like in the opposite direction away from me. And I was holding on to her and I was in such shock, I was in such disbelief, like, what is going on? And I remember right then, you know, it was, something was up, something was going on. And again, like I said, at this point, I was a skeptic. I didn't believe in ghosts. I didn't believe in paranormal stuff. Even at that time, I didn't believe in God or the devil. You know, I just believed in maybe some weird science stuff, like I said, like Bigfoot and whatnot, and the Plesiosaurus, the Loch Ness Monster. Monsters, you know, okay, I can see animals getting weird genetic mutations, but the afterlife, the paranormal, all this stuff, I never believed in that. But I started to when that happened, because I did not know how to make heads or tails of this. I didn't understand what was going on. All I knew is that the person that I love, respected, who was everything to me, was being hurt. So I was mad. I was starting to get pissed, especially in my own home. Like, I was like, you motherfucker. So we end up going back to her place in Chandler that night. And she was terrified. She was just, she couldn't sleep. So I just held her there all night. She had work in the morning, so she had to get some sleep. But I remember I drove back to my house that morning and I was thinking, like, what is going on? What is happening? So then I started doing some research and I started looking around, like, what is demonic possession? What do ghosts do? How are they able to do things? And I was reading that they feed off of negative energy. Well, my girlfriend and I had been going through some hard times. We were going through a lot of stresses in life, financial stuff, and, you know, I had just lost my job, so, you know, money was tight, and we had this big house, and, you know, even though it wasn't that much money, you know, when you lose your job, everything becomes expensive. So, you know, things were not good. But they weren't bad, you know? It's not like we were at the point of like, oh, we're going to break up. But there was definitely some negative energy. So I was thinking like, oh, is that it? You know, are we being infected by some fucking ghost right now because we're not vibing totally? Like, I didn't know what to think. And the more I looked, the more down the rabbit hole I went. Until finally, I found the Scottsdale Paranormal Investigation Team. And I contacted a woman with the Scottsdale Paranormal Society, and they said that they wanted to come out and take a look. So give me a second here. Vaping is the best invention, by the way. You can vape in your house. It's amazing. I used to be a guy that would go and have a cigarette like every 10 minutes. And now I just hit my vape, get a little nicotine buzz. Have you ever hit your vape too hard and you get really lightheaded and it feels like your lungs close up a little bit, like you can't breathe? Woo, that just happened. I think I hit it too hard. That's what she said. But, yeah. Sorry, I'm tired, guys. So anyways, I called them and, you know, they asked, well, what's going on? And I said, well, my girlfriend's been attacked twice, you know, by something. I don't know what it is. And she's like, well, what's the history of your house? And I said, well, I really don't know. So then she's like, well, call me back when you find out some more. And if something happens again, we'll come out. And I said, okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate your help. So I figured I was not getting any help. So I had my friend's cousin, who helped me at the house, do an MLS listing. So we checked the house, and the house had sold in 1989. It was finished, built, completed in 1989. It sold in 1991. You can check this for yourself. But then it had sold every other year, and then someone rented it out. Family moved in for about 6 months, and then they left. Nobody occupied this house for longer than a year to 2 years to 6 months. And, you know, this was back before people did a lot of house flipping, and, you know, this was in the early 90s, like 92, 93, and people didn't do that back then. Once they bought a home, they stuck with it, you know, much like my parents. And so then I started wondering, like, why would someone invest so much money into this house just to take a loss on it and leave? So, you know, I started doing some more digging, and I found out that the land that we were on used to belong to Native Americans. So I had come to the realization that possibly, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, you know, all of Arizona used to belong to Native Americans, and, you know, Mexico and all that stuff, I think, if I know my history. But something was up. I don't know if the house was buried on a graveyard or something like Poltergeist, or I didn't know what was happening. But I just know for a fact that the house was not occupied for longer than 6 months to 2 years. And that was uncommon at those years. So then a next event that happened was about 4 months later. We had gone to California for a friend's wedding, and everything had been quiet. There was no, you know, spooky noises. There was no doors slamming. We hadn't experienced anything like that. But we had one of our friends do some house sitting, because even though we lived in a nice area, you know, things can happen. And we had a nice house at the time, so my friend Brittany was like, yeah, you know, I'd be happy to. And I said, there's food in the cupboard, and there's a full stock pantry. Help yourself to anything in the fridge. You know, feel free to go around the house, order some movies, whatever you want to do. House is yours. And she was like, great. And she had like a little apartment, so this was like a little vacation for her. And so then about the second night after we had left Arizona, we were in California, and it was the day before my buddy's wedding. Around 1 o'clock in the morning, my phone just starts blowing up, like going crazy. And I had, like, I think it was, like, an iPhone 9 or something. iPhone 7 at the time. I don't know. It was an old phone. But it was blowing up. It was going crazy. And I had it on silent, but I could see the light going off. And I ignored it because I thought, like, maybe it's just my drunk friends or something. But then I finally get up and I look and I have over 80 missed calls. And I see that it's Brittany. So I'm like, oh, shit. So I call her back and she answers. And she says, crying and just going absolutely, just, you couldn't understand her. I said, whoa, 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 Brittany, calm down. Brittany, what's wrong? And she's like, dude, I'm getting the fuck out of this house. I am never coming back. And I said, what? Wait, what happened? And she said, I was about to go to bed. I smoked a little weed. And I'm like, up, there it is. And she's like, and the freaking TV turned off. Your door started opening and shutting. All the doors in the cabinet started opening and shutting. The garage door was going up and down. She's like, the slider in the kitchen was going crazy. She's like, the whole house came alive. And I said, Brittany, you're high. Go to bed. And she did smoke weed, I'm not going to lie. But whatever she saw, whatever she witnessed, scared the shit out of her. Because when we came back from California, we invited her over. She refused to come over. And I deduced it to maybe she was just, you know, high. And then I had asked someone... I hadn't smoked weed in a long time. You know, I knew that it was way more powerful than the stuff I smoked back in 2002 and 2001. And I had asked a lot of people, I said, hey, have you ever experienced anything like this while smoking weed? And they're like, no. Like, maybe if you were smoking Cocoa Puffs or, you know, some PCP, but nothing like that. And I was just like, odd. But she refused to come back to the house. We were out one night. And I said, hey, I need to go back to the house and pick some things up. Does anyone need to use the bathroom? And she's like, I do, but I'll wait. I said, really? And she's like, yeah, I'll wait. I'm not going to go by that house ever again. I'm sorry. I love you guys, but no. So then I said, okay, fine. You know, and at this point, Jenny and I, we hadn't experienced anything crazy or nuts, but something scared her. Something scared her really bad. Until this day, she will not go back to that house. She refuses to. So that was another incident. So then by this point, I felt that I had enough need, enough evidence to call the Scottsdale Paranormal Society. So then they showed up about a week later. I called them and I said, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I found out about the house. It wasn't lived in for very long before someone hightailed out of there. And then my friend had some weird encounter when we were in California. And I do believe her. Because my friend Brittany, she was not a liar. She was not a person that believed in ghosts or anything. She was, you know, she smoked weed every once in a while, but that was it. She was in shape. She was a health nut. You know, she was a good person. She wasn't a, you know, crazy, you know, party chick or anything. She was just average. And... so when I talked to Mary from the Paranormal Society, that was her name, Mary. You know, she said, okay, you know, obviously there's something going on there. We'll come out. So about 2 weeks later, they came by and they said, is it okay if we spend the night? And I said, absolutely. They got there at around 4 o'clock in the evening because they said they wanted to have everything set up. And I said, you know, what are you guys setting up? And they said, we got some gear. And I said, okay. So also by this time, Jenny and I had broken up. She started to become depressed. She started to become not very logic in a lot of things. And also we started fighting more. Arguing, bickering, just like our relationship was going downhill. And, you know, I couldn't do anything to save it. So, not my finest hour. You know, it's always hard when you lose someone that you love and care about. But I was living at that house by myself at this point. And they came over and they started setting up night vision, FLIR, For those of you that don't know what FLIR is, it stands for forward-looking infrared. And it's basically a camera that can see the heat in the body or heat on appliances, or it detects heat and it shows an outline of someone or something and it shows the heat signature. It's pretty cool tech. And they actually make them now for iPhones. You can get them for like $300 on Amazon. I have one. They're pretty cool. And so what had happened is they set up the stuff in the bedroom where I slept, in every room in the house. And then, I just sound like Christopher Walken. And then, you know, they started setting stuff up in the bathroom. But so we had cameras all over the house, and then we shut the power down to the house. And I asked them why they did that. And they said they wanted to make sure that there was no interference, that if they caught a reflection from like a cable box or like a DVD player or anything like that, you know, that any sort of light that was coming in was from something else and not no camera, appliance, stove, whatever. So they had everything on this like big battery pack generator. It's pretty neat. I want to get one of those. So we started recording at around, I think it was like 7 o'clock they started recording. You know, we were eating some sandwiches and talking and whatever. And we had a team of people that were watching the monitors in the kitchen because that was the best place to set it up. The living room had couches and everything. So we had them set up the monitors in the kitchen on a table. They had multiple black and white monitors, night vision monitors, FLIR monitors. And they had over like 100 cameras in that. Not over 100, but they probably had around like 60 cameras set up. And the reason why they had so many is because they had every corner covered, because they wanted to see everything. And then they had stuff in the backyard. They had stuff in the garage. They had stuff out in front. Like, they had that place locked down. Like, it was Brink security, man. So nothing happened. You know, we're still talking, just, you know, hanging out. And then they had one of those EVP things, you know, like it looks like a, what do they call it? From the Ghostbusters, the EKG meter. And they were trying to get readings of energy. So they went in my bedroom. It was now around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And they were in my bedroom and they started to get a signal. And it was kind of coming from where like the closet meets the shower. I'll see if I have a picture. Maybe I can send it. But the meter started going crazy. It was going from red to green to just going vroom, 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 all over the place. And then someone on the monitor had said, "Hey, turn around to your right. There's something there." And I also had shared the password with my friend so that he could watch it in California through the online channel, because it was also being streamed. And he texted me and he was like, "Brandon, turn around. There's something behind you." And I said, "What?" And I turned around. I didn't see anything, but the meter was going absolutely crazy. The camera shut off. It turned back on, and it was the weirdest thing ever. So then when we went back to the monitor, there was like a, what do you call it? A stream of footage. But then for like, I don't know, like 50 milliseconds or something. I don't know what that is. You know, basically like it was a good snap of time. The camera went to perfect footage of night vision, to snow, you know, like if you don't get reception, it's like, pfft. Yeah, it was just snow. And I was like, "What the fuck?" So we tried to rewind it. We tried to do all kinds of stuff to see if we could clear it up. There was nothing there. It was like something had destroyed the footage between, you know, like 58 seconds and 60 seconds. That footage was gone. But my friend had told me, and I swear on both of my mother and father, that he saw something with, he said it was glowing red eyes. And we just all looked at each other like, okay. You know, like, oh, fuck. And I said, what is that? And they said, glowing red eyes. They said, that has to be some sort of demon. And I said, great, I got a fucking demon in my house. And they said, well, we don't know if it's a demon. Then they started arguing amongst themselves. And they said, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to bless your house. So I said, okay, cool. Let's do that. Well, they didn't have the proper materials to do that, so they had to come over and do it next time. But they did. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. So then we checked the cameras in the living room, and there was this blue... This did show up, and I actually have a picture of this, so if you want it, let me know. Again, all the lights were off. The light that you're seeing in this picture is from the infrared and the night vision. But I had one light that was outside, but you could barely see it anyways. So in front of the TV was this picture that looked like it was like a still of a woman in a Victorian style dress. You know how they wore, like, back in the day, the Victorian style dresses and stuff, like almost like a petticoat. And it was a slender woman, looked like they have like long black hair. I mean, her size looked very pretty, though, you know, and I kind of wondered if, you know, the reason I'm getting tongue-tied here is because I don't know what the hell I saw, but it did look like a woman. It looked like a woman dressed in that style of clothing, just from what I could make out. You know, if it was dressed in like some sort of astronaut outfit, I'd be like, it looked like that. You know, I'm just saying what I saw. And I shared the picture with the Paranormal Society, and they said, yeah, it was a blue, like almost blue fluorescent figure outline. I don't know how else to describe it. And it was pretty damn creepy. It was standing right in front of the TV. It was about, I want to say, 5'4", 5'5". Slender build, long black hair, and, you know, wearing a white dress. I don't know that it was white, but you can kind of imagine, you know, if you were living in those times, that's what it would look like. And so that was something else. So I was pretty convinced that there was something in my house, that maybe there was a couple of things, like they said. They said you could have two things in your house. You could have a vengeful spirit, you could have, you know, a demonic presence here. But the fact that this house, something I forgot to tell you guys. So when they first arrived, they said this is a very dark house. And I said, yeah, let me get some lights on. They said, no, not like that. There's a very dark, like, ominous presence here. Like, they feel the negative energy. They feel, because Mary was a medium, or still is. I don't know if she's still around, but she, and again, this is way out of my wheelhouse, guys. Like, I didn't believe in this shit, but I became a believer that night. And I didn't pay them. They volunteered to come. They spent the whole night, you know, on their own dime. And, you know, they said that my house felt like it was angry, like it had some very dark, vengeful feelings. And I don't know how they picked that up, but apparently that's what mediums can do. So later on that night, at around 3:00 in the morning, we went back into the bedroom with the meter to check things, where we got those strong readings. And there was enough light in there. Yes, the lights were out, but there was enough light to where I could see if someone did something. You know, my night vision at night is perfect. I see better at night than I do during the day sometimes. I'm like a cat. And then all of a sudden I heard this girl scream, one of the assistants. She was a cousin of Mary, I believe. I think she was a cousin or the friend or something like that. And she screamed really loud, kind of like ah. And I said, are you all right? I said, you trip on something? I thought she like stubbed her toe in my bed frame. But eventually what had happened, she lifted up her shirt, and right kind of where the same area that my girlfriend was grabbed, she had 3 slash marks. They weren't super deep, but it was noticeable. It was super noticeable. Like, you know, it looked like a cat scratch, but it was like wider in width from one mark to the other. It was like if you take your your pinky finger and your thumb, and you touch them together, tip to tip, and then you hold out your three fingers like how the Germans do throwing glazes, like in Inglourious Bastards. I think that's how they do it. Remember how he in the bar and that's how he gave himself away? He's like, oh, I know, the German way is like this or something. Anyways, it looked like that if you were to scratch someone like that. And see, this is the problem with being on the spectrum and having ADHD is you're just all over the map. I'm sorry for anybody who's still listening. They're like, Jesus Christ, this fucker's on crack. But no, that's what happened. She had three marks on her side, and then she had like another three marks on her arm, on her shoulder. And she was really freaked out. She's like, I got to get out of this room. And she bolted out of there real quick. Now, people can make things up, right? People can bullshit. People can say that, oh, this is happening. And people can actually cause, you know, what they call the power of suggestion or the placebo effect, all these things. People can make themselves believe things. The mind is very powerful. But I'm telling you that I did not believe in this stuff. I wasn't even looking for it. I was hoping they were proving me wrong, that they were going to come in here and say, hey, sorry, we don't see anything. Your house is full of shit. I went in there with an open, clear head, just kind of wanting to be disproved. But it was the other way around. And so they ended up saying a prayer in there. They ended up blessing the house. They burned some sage. And they had to open the windows because they said if you burn sage inside without opening the windows, whatever entity or spirit or whatnot it's trying to get rid of, it gets trapped in there. I guess that there's rules to this stuff. So they had asked me if I ever played around with a Ouija board. And I said, yeah, when I was a kid, you know, I had the Milton Bradley one from Toys R Us. And they said, don't ever play with one of those things. And I said, okay, well, all right. And they said, no, we're serious. Don't ever play with a Ouija board. It opens up gates to another world. So something that I didn't tell you guys about, and I was saving this for last, when I was living in California at my condo, before I moved, I had a stack, a DVD rack, and it had my Xbox games, my DVDs up there. And I lived in a three-story townhouse. First story was the garage, the foyer, stairs went up, and then you had the second story with the kitchen, the living room, TV room, balcony. Third story, washer, dryer, two bathrooms, and two bedrooms. Well, I had lived alone, and then about a couple weeks before I was going to leave California, I went upstairs, and my DVDs were all over the place, but they were in a circle, like someone had gotten into my house, took out all my DVDs and Xbox games, and made them into a circle. I thought my boss was fucking with me, and I said, dude, are you serious? I gotta pick this shit up now. He's like, pick what up? I said, my DVDs, and he was like, okay, well then maybe don't be a slob and pick your shit up. And I said, bro, nice try. And he's like, well, what do you want from me? And I said, why did you do that? And he's like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, he was getting mad. And I brought him upstairs and he was like, dude, what the shit? So I can't explain that till this day. I don't know what happened, but someone, something, somebody had either gotten in my house or some entity had taken my movies and games and made them into a circle on the floor. And then they took the other rack and they dumped it over, and that shit was just in a pile in the other corner. Because I had my Blu-rays, my Xbox, and my DVDs. A few, like, computer games and whatnot. But that's what happened. And then, prior to me leaving, I felt fear. And fear is a very hard emotion for me to feel because I'm not really afraid of anything. I don't believe in anything. So, you know, seeing shit is just like whatever. But one night I woke up, and I know what you're gonna say, oh, sleep paralysis, you know, that man with the hat, da 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 da. Well, I saw something, and I really haven't talked about it until, you know, I was with the paranormal investigators. So I had seen something that looked like a giant moth, but it had like a head of a man. But you couldn't make out the face. It was like, what was that movie, Mimic? It looked like that, but it was very smoggy. But like the outlines of it were just very like the tips were smoke. It wasn't like a fine tip. It was very hard to make out. But the closer you got to the head, the more fine it got. And not like fine, like damn, she fine, but like, you know, as in turn up the sharpness on a TV fine. And it scared the fucking shit out of me. Like, I remember I woke up and I saw that. I jumped out of bed and I ran down to the end of the hall. And it was still there. It was still there. I thought I was like half asleep or something and I dreamed or whatever. But it was still there. So I thought someone had broken into my house. My handgun was in my safe in my closet down the hall. So I grabbed it and I racked it. And I was like, you know, get on the ground, get on your fucking ground, interlock your fingers, you know, giving it commands. And, you know, and then when I got closer, the closer I got, then I blinked for like a second and it went away. It completely disappeared. Well, I had told my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend about that when I lived in Cali. And she was just like, wow, that's some weird shit. You saw the shadow man, you know, the whatever they call him there. Usually to be identified with sleep paralysis. But I wasn't paralyzed. I could get up. I literally popped out of bed and took off. You know, I ran. I sprinted out of there. I was like, oh, Jesse Owens, you got some run for your money here. And, yeah, that was completely scary shit. So after that, that's when I moved to Arizona. But I thought I had seen the end of this entity or whatever it was, because nobody would come over to my house anymore. Everyone experienced something to some degree. And I noticed that it was only females. And I had asked Mary about that from the Scottsdale Paranormal. And I said, why is it only women that are experiencing this? Whenever I get a girlfriend, she usually gets scared away, fucked with, or whatever. And they said, something is either obsessed with you, draining you for power, or her words, or it doesn't want you to be happy. I've heard that demons don't like people to be happy, that they like when they possess someone or they latch on to someone or whatever, follow someone, that they really like that person to be miserable because they feed off the negative energy. And that's what she said. Literally, no, I'm not making a joke. That's what she said. And, you know, so I found that to be very peculiar. But I had tried to have a relationship towards the end there. And she even got scared. It wasn't like nothing happened to her. But she just said she had this really bad feeling whenever she was in the house. She's like, can we go out to dinner? I don't want to be in here, you know, at all. I don't want to be in this house. And I said, damn, all right, girl, shit. You know, so there were some weird things in that house. And by the time I had left, about 3 months before I left the house, there was a beehive in there. And it was old, though. The beehive was old, like it had been there for like the last 50 years. But yet bees somehow kept on getting inside the house. They were in the walls. You can hear them buzzing around. And, you know, and finally, nobody believed me. But the day that we moved out, the fucking ledges were full of them. Like, bees just caked onto the windowsills like they had been there forever. And, you know, everyone thought I was a nut. And they were just like, oh, no, Brandon, you know, he's losing his mind. He thinks there's bees in his house. And they couldn't find them. They couldn't find them. When they went in there, you know, they put their ear to the wall. They couldn't hear anything. But I heard it when I was the only one in that house and I was trying to sleep. And it drove me nuts. And I ended up moving in with a friend until I finally moved out of that house. And so then fast forward, like a year later, I move into my apartment where I am currently at now. And my girlfriend at the time, she was living with me. And she, one night I was at work and she calls and she's screaming. She's crying. And my other friend was home with her that I used to work with, my friend Crystal. And she's like, Brandon, can you get here quick? And I was right down the street, literally Like, I live in the Scottsdale Quarter. I don't know if anyone knows where that is, but there's an apartment that's in the mall, and I was a mall security officer. So I ran as quickly as I could, and I got to the house probably like maybe a minute after I got the call, and I ran upstairs, and my girlfriend had a ring around her neck, like something had choked her in her sleep, like pretty hard, because she had a red ring around her neck. And I had asked my friend Crystal if she had heard anything either. And she's like, something's kind of been fucking with me lately. And I said, what do you mean? And she said that when she had been sleeping, because she was couch surfing on my place for a while she waited for her apartment to open. She said that she felt like something grabbed her. And I said, what do you mean, like, grabbed you? Like, meow, chicka-bing. And she was like, no, more of like the violation type grab, like slapped my ass and stuff, and just kind of being really weird. And she's like, I don't know, I really can't put my finger on it. I'm like, well, apparently the ghost could. And she's like, you're such a son of a bitch, but no, seriously, something is fucking with you. And I said, no, it's attacking the women. Guys, I don't know what to tell you, but for some reason, this ghost does not want me to have female friends or a girlfriend. But what I've noticed is that the closer I get to the female friend, that's when something starts happening. And any girl that I've ever brought in over here to my house, not like I'm this pimp daddy Kane or anything, but when I've had a relationship, it's gone to shit. Like, something happens to the girl where she either loses her mind, or she starts having problems with something, or she starts getting super negative, can't sleep, panic attacks. And I can't explain it. Till this day, I do not know why. Either I'm just really unlucky, or there is something that is attached to me, and there is something that has followed me from that house. Or maybe even before that. I don't know. But what do you guys think? There's a story. That's the update. This last experience was last year. It was in July of 2023. No, I'm sorry, 2022. That's when all this stuff started happening. It was like from September, July, around that area. And since then, you know, it's been hell. Not like I've experienced like a ton of haunting stuff, but just, I don't know, sometimes when I'm walking around here at night, I get like a weird, weird ominous feeling, you know, like something's not right. Oh, forgot to tell you one more thing, and then I'll wrap this up. So when my girlfriend and I were living together here at the apartment, there's a Circle K down the street from us, and sorry, not Circle K, Jackson's. It's a Shell gas station that has a Jackson's attached to it. So I said, hey, I'm gonna go get some Monsters, do you want anything? And she's like, yeah, pick me up a pack of cigarettes, and can you get me a couple donuts? I said, yeah, of course, no problem. So I had a little scooter at that time, like one of the little two-wheel ones. And I'm riding it, and right when I get to the end of the street, I hear this scream. And this is in the city, just FYI. Like, we now live in, like, the middle of, like, you know, metropolitan city, North Scottsdale city area. And right here in the mall, so there's all kinds of cars and everything. But I heard the loudest, most gut-wrenching, like, hair-curling scream that I have ever heard. It sounded like a banshee-type scream, you know what I mean? Like some real haunted, just evil shit. And it went on for like a good 40 seconds. It was just like, I can't do it because my voice doesn't go that way. But you know what I mean? It was terrifying to where I was like on my scooter. I stopped it and I was like, nope, fuck that. And I freaking powered it back to the room. Back to the apartment. And you know, I went upstairs and my girlfriend comes running out of the room. She's like, and it's literally at the same time, it was almost jinx. We're like, did you hear that shit? And she was like, yes, I did. I heard it. Oh my God, what the fuck was that? And I said, I don't know. It scared the shit out of me. I literally like halfway picked up my scooter and ran with that thing over my shoulder. I ran faster. And she was like, oh my God. She's like, did you have your gun on you? I'm like, yeah, what good do you think that thing's gonna do? Did you hear that fucking thing? Like, that thing's got to be like a giant dog man or something. I don't know, some poltergeist. But anyways, guys, it's been weird. It's been fucking weird. And I don't have answers for you. I don't know anything about this stuff other than what I was told. I don't know if these things are real, if they're, you know, coincidence. Who knows? But all I can tell you is what I witnessed, what I saw, what I heard, what I was told, and what happened to me. Those are the facts as they lay. There's no deviations. There's no people making shit up. That's exactly what happened. Until this day, whenever, you know, a girl gets close to me, it just, something kind of happens that scares them off. You know, I don't know if it's the fact that I like playing old school games. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't start out like that. It's great. Everything's fine. But then the girl just starts to get really negative, and she starts getting mood swings and randomly just starts lashing out. And then, like, she starts sobbing and just, it's like she goes through like a mental breakdown in the quickness. Like, I don't know what it is, but anybody got any suggestions? Because I don't know what the fuck is happening. And I know I don't believe in this shit, but I'm starting to, because this is just way too weird. But with that, there it is. There's the story. That's my own personal haunting. That was it. And until this day, it scares the absolute fuck out of me. So thank you so much for listening. And if anyone has any comments, questions, or suggestions, please let me know. Thank you so much for listening to We're Just Talking. I'm your host, Brandon Estrella. Good night, or good morning, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. All right. Take care, guys.